Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden, and the name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. We are live on Blog Talk Radio, and we are also live on Facebook on my Medium page, Colleen Vanderzijden, Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach. I'm so happy you're here joining me today. It's an interesting thing as we're getting closer to the summer, and Lilydale is starting to get ready for the summer. We're all over there fixing our houses up and cleaning up things, trying to get organized and put our flowers out, and it's kind of cool, but it's nice to be there and just start looking forward to it. It's only 3 weeks away until Lilydale season opens for the summer, and we have all sorts of really cool things planned today. So we are going to talk about things here. We're going to talk about some things at Lilydale. And if you're just joining in, this is Lilydale Radio, and we are live on Facebook and also on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden. I'm a registered medium at Lilydale, and I'm also a certified spiritual life coach. And as a life coach, I help people create the life they want to have. Now, it has been an interesting time the last couple of weeks, and I'll be telling you about that in a little bit. Some of the appointments I've had and the people I've talked to, not clients, but just regular normal people, if you will. And I'll be talking about that because we seem to be going through some stuff right now, and you may be as well. So I hope you're having a good time. I hope you're having a good day. I hope you've been having a good week. You don't have anything traumatic happening, and that it's peaceful. That would just be awesome. So what I wanted to do first before we get going, you know, for real, is talk about some things that are happening at Lilydale this summer. And if you are new to Lilydale, it is the largest spiritualist community in the world. People come from all over the world to study, take workshops, visit with the mediums, just to come and have some fun. Over 30,000 people come every single year. And we do have some big name people coming, of course, and all sorts of stuff. But I was looking at the book today, and if you haven't gotten a chance to get the book, you can call Lilydale and they will send you a copy, or you can go online, lilydaleassembly.org, and you can see the book. Now, right there, you'll have all the workshops, everything, and you can blow it up nice and big if you need to and check it out. But as I was going through the book today, I saw this thing, and I thought this would be really fun to talk about. On July 14th, they're doing a murder mystery dinner theater. Okay, doesn't that sound fun? A murder mystery dinner theater. It's called Recipe for Murder, and it's being done by the comedy troupe In All Seriousness. So I bet you that is going to be amazing. This is on July 14th at 8 p.m. And what a clever idea. Don't you think that's a clever idea to just do something like this, a murder mystery? So you're going to, this is going to be great. It says you're going to be on the edge of your seats, which I'm sure you will be. It will be in the auditorium. For those details, you're going to be dining on a meal. They're going to be having lasagna as well as a vegetarian option, salad, roll, dessert, and beverages. The tickets are on sale, and it's $35 if you pre-register. I recommend pre-registering. The auditorium is pretty big, so we can fit a lot of people in there. So you go and check this out. Isn't that awesome? I talk about something fun to do, something a little bit different than normal. So I'm just going to go through the book and just mention a couple of things that whatever comes up to me, I'm just going to mention it. So we have, oh, my favorite people right here. Hi, Julie. Hi, Tay. Thank you for joining us on Facebook. Brian Robertson and Simon James. I love these guys. I just studied with them a couple of weeks ago. They are amazing. If you are a medium and you're looking for a good medium teacher, a great medium teacher, it's these guys. There's more, of course, too, but I just have an affection for them because they're a lot of fun. So they are teaching on August 17th through the 19th. They are from Canada, and they have been doing mediumship for, I think, their whole lives. And they have so much wisdom to share. And if you get a chance and you're interested in mediumship, you should check that out. I'm going to see what else I can find out. Oh, this is another mediumship one. I thought I'd talk about something else. Well, Neil Zepkowski, here's one. Neil Zepkowski is going to be doing Edgar Cayce remedies. And Edgar Cayce was a medium way back in the early 20th century, so 1900 something. And he did a whole bunch of readings, like, I don't know, a huge number, 10,000, 20,000. And he had somebody who would transcribe all his readings. He was a man, Edgar Cayce was a man, who could fall asleep on top of a book and know everything that was in that book. He would just wake up and know it. Isn't that amazing? And he would go into a state. He'd be able to put himself into a meditative trance kind of state and do readings. And these readings had all sorts of information in them, not just connecting to our loved ones on the other side, but also things having to do with medical conditions and treatments involved. There were philosophies of life that came through. And if you ever have a chance, you could go to Virginia Beach and go to the Edgar Cayce Place right there, Association for Research and Enlightenment, and you can learn more about Edgar Cayce. Spiritualism, the religion of spiritualism, which is a big part, the hugest part of Lilydale, is a religion that believes in communication with people on the other side. It is a religion that believes in healing work, energies, natural laws. All of that goes together. It is at Lilydale a religion that you can choose what you want to believe. There is nothing, they don't give you rules and say you must believe this and this and this. So we have all sorts of different people at Lilydale and who come to Lilydale and have their own belief systems, but they are drawn to that peace that comes from the religion of spiritualism. So if you haven't checked that out, that might be something to check out as well. I'll do one more thing coming up. This is just fun, just to see what shows up on my page here. I got new eyes last week. That's what I've been saying. I got new eyes. You remember how I had my cataract replaced in my right eye last month? Well, I had my left eye done last week, and I can tell. I can actually see now. It's amazing. I had no idea I was having all those problems. So I can actually see what's happening right now in this book, which is really amazing in itself. So here's another one. This sounds like fun, too. This is August 29th, so yeah, a little time here. Sacred Wisdom, Power Animals, Spirit Guides, and Shamanism. And that's by Roberta Robbins. She's going to be at 9:30 to 4:30 in the Octagon Building. This is on August 29th. So you want to get a copy of this book. And now the book doesn't have the full descriptions of the workshops. So if something interests you, then you'll need to go online to check out the rest of it. That's where you'll also find online. You'll also find out the bios of everyone who's presenting workshops. Online, you can also connect with mediums. There's a registered medium page. And you can go there and get telephone numbers, emails, and all that. I do recommend, if you are planning to come this summer and you're looking for a reading, that you do make your appointment in advance. Especially if you're planning to come on a weekend, because weekends we tend to get booked up already. During the week, it's not so bad, but I don't sit around there all day long just waiting for someone to show up. So if you want an appointment with somebody, not just me, but anybody, I do recommend you make an appointment in advance. Thank you, Julie. I'm so happy my eyes are better, too. I had no idea my eyes were that bad. January, I went to the eye doctor, and it was a little bit struggling. I was having a struggle, but my eyes have always been a little bit tricky. But in March, when I went back to the eye doctor, I could hardly see anything. It was amazing. So I don't know what was going on in there, but I'm so happy. I had no idea they could fix it. No idea. I did not know that they could change cataracts and make it so there was a prescription in there so you don't even need your glasses anymore. I had no clue. When I went to have them done, I think people were surprised at my age in getting my cataracts done, because it was me and a bunch of other people who were significantly older than I am. But what can you do? Your eyes do what they do. Your body does what it does. So if you are joining in, this is Embracing Your Essence on Lilydale Radio. We are live on my Facebook page, Colleen VanderZeiden, Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach. We're also live on Blog Talk. If you'd like to call in, the number is 818-739-8818. Today's topic, what I'm going to talk about, is hopelessness. Because, and there's a couple of reasons why I want to talk about this. One is because I have had so many people I have talked to in the last few weeks in particular who are going through a very rough time. They're going through traumatic situations. They're going through loss. They're going through grief. They may not be going through anything, but they feel hopeless. They can't change something. I had a client come in, and I've had several of these in the last, 5 months, who are going through some kind of health challenges. And going through these health challenges, you know, if you've ever gone through one, what happens is we go to the doctor and we hope they're going to help us. And so we go, and maybe, and they don't really tell us anything the first day, do they? And they might send you for some tests. We're going to send you for some blood work, maybe something else, maybe this. So you go and you have these tests. Then you have to wait some more before you get the results, because they don't tell you right away, of course. And then you might go back to the doctor, and you get back there, and he says, well, you know, there's nothing really here, or maybe there is something there, and we need to do this next. And so then there's another plan and another plan. And I think what happens with a lot of people going through a physical issue is we keep building up our hope that somebody's going to fix it. Somebody's going to tell us what to do. Somebody's going to tell us what it is. And when that doesn't happen, we start to move into a place of hopelessness where they're never going to figure this out. It's even worse. At times, I don't want to, you know, make anything sound better or worse than another, but if you're going through all these tests and there's really nothing there, and then they say something about, well, maybe it's in your head, and oh my goodness, right? Or maybe there is something there, but they don't have a cure. They don't know what to tell you. They might tell you that stress makes it worse. And that again, then it makes you feel like you're not being legitimate, that you're worrying too much. So these people that I've been talking to a lot, they start to move into that hopelessness. They might get there. Something will set them off and just totally move them in. They have a fear of the unknown. They have a fear of what's going to happen. They have a fear of whether or not they're ever going to be themselves again. They have a fear that it could get worse. And something even more dangerous or whatever is going to happen. Along with that, I've also had quite a few clients. I mean, a huge number. I'm beginning to think I'm a marriage therapist right now, actually. That's how many clients I've had who are going through relationship struggles. And these relationship struggles, they don't see any changes. You know, you have the conversations, you say what you need to say, and nothing changes. You try to change your own actions. The other person might try to change their own actions, but still nothing is changing. And so they also can move into this hopelessness feeling. This hopelessness is an inner struggle that we have, and so many of us have experienced. I'm sure many of you have as well. We want something to be different, and we can't get there. We just can't do it. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to get there. We don't know who to see. We don't know who's going to help us. Many times when we're feeling this struggle, this hopeless feeling, we're resisting life as it is. We're resisting what's happening. With an illness, and I've said this before, but with an illness, you have to kind of accept that something's going on and accept that maybe you aren't going to be able to control it. Maybe you can't fix it and all of that. People don't like that. They don't want to give up control. They don't want to surrender. But it's a different surrender when you're just saying, you know what, sometimes life is horrible. And this is just the new reality I have right now. It doesn't mean it's going to stay there forever, but I have to learn how to deal with it today in this moment as it is. And with this, all this stuff, wanting others to fix us, wanting solutions, wanting our issues and problems to be different, magically solved. If this problem went away, then I would feel better. But that doesn't always work, does it? Just because you want it to go away, maybe it does go away and you still don't feel better. When we're feeling this hopelessness, it's because we've lost our power. We've lost our connection to ourselves. We've given it away to worry, stress, anxiety, negativity, fear. We move into that depression again and the despair. Hello, everybody who's watching on Facebook. Hi, Christine and Linda. And thank you for calling in. I see I have a couple callers. Don't worry, I will get to you, I promise. So what happens with this hopelessness? Is our mind starts to focus on the negative to such an extent that we are not connected to ourselves anymore and we don't know what to do. Everybody has problems. Everybody's going to get knocked down by crap. We all are. It's just the way it is. And it's in our responses to life, in our responses to what happens, that's creating our life. It's our responses to the challenges. Now, if you totally move into the hopelessness to the point that, you know, you're feeling a depression and it's been there for longer, just a few days, you know, you can't pin it on something in particular. Of course, yes, go see a doctor. Yes, go see a doctor because they can refer you. Maybe you do need medication and that's okay. Maybe you need to go to counseling and that's okay too. Whatever you got to do to get back to yourself. I have several clients right now who are coming to me as a coach to help them get back to themselves because they feel lost. they feel stuck in the hopeless and they need somebody else to guide them. And that's fine, because what we're going to do, anybody who's helping anyone in that hopelessness stage, is we're going to help them see themselves again, see the strength that they have within, because that's, we've lost our strength. We've lost that power. We're going to help you recognize that you can get out of this. My philosophy, and this is my philosophy only, I have no scientific background, no scientific studies to prove anything I ever say to you, but my thing is that our energy is stuck. I believe that when we're hopeless, our energy is stuck. That's why we've disconnected from ourselves. Okay, that's a theory. Maybe someday I'll prove it out to you. I feel that the more we know about ourselves, the more we know about how we react, how we believe, the easier it is to handle our problems. Now, everything, good, bad, whatever, leads you to yourself. Everything, every single thing. This, again, is my theory. I own this baby. This is my thing. I always, whenever I have a problem, whenever anybody has a problem, it always comes back to, well, what about you? What do you need to do? What do you need to change? Who are you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And seeing what we can learn from our crap. Okay, we've got to learn from the crap. What's it showing us about ourselves? There are basically four different kinds of, beliefs, I guess we'll call them, that can help you move through this and look at things from a different perspective. One is we have to trust the process of life. Now, I believe in a higher power. I believe in a God. I assume many of you who are watching and listening do as well. I have to trust the process of life because I cannot believe that God doesn't know what God is doing. Okay? God knows what's going on. I know sometimes people will get angry at God, and that's okay. I'm sure God can take it. But there's a master plan that we don't know. And we still, within that master plan, we have free will. We create our lives. Yes. But it's part of a master plan. When we have our difficulties and challenges, it's leading us to something better. And so frequently we can't see it just because we're so stuck in the emotions and the despair and all of those things that are happening in our lives. So if you can trust that the process of life is there to show you something so you can learn and grow, that's a good foundational belief to hold, that there's something there. I can tell you that I, at times, and I know some of you might find this hard to believe because you only know me through this or you've seen me on the street, but I tend towards depression at times, and I can get very down. And I can move into that hopelessness as easily as anybody else. I'm fortunate, however, because I do have my toolbox of things I can do to get myself out of that hopelessness. And that's what I want to share with you, some of the things that I know I believe. The things that I know can help me and may help you too. Trusting is one of this. We feel out of control. Don't we feel out of control? We're hopeless. We are. We're out of control. We don't know what to do. And our natural tendencies as humans, for many of us, if not all, is to control. We want to control. If I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is going to happen. That's not how life always works. And sometimes it's a tough lesson for us to learn. But if we trust, then we're open to accepting life as it is. Life has crap. It has crap. It happens all the time. We all have something. We should be so grateful for the moments and the days we have in our lives, whereas we're just floating along and nothing really is happening. We should really be grateful for that, shouldn't we? Those moments where, you're just outside and the sun is shining, whatever it can be. I love listening to the wind the other night. I was lying in bed. I was listening to the wind outside in the backyard, and it was just so calming and so peaceful. And that was a great moment for me. I very much enjoyed that. And within that wind and that peaceful, calm feeling comes back to the trusting in life and then accepting how my life is. With that comes accepting that I'm the only person that's going to change how I'm experiencing my life. I know we all love to blame other people and situations for when we feel crappy. If they would only do this, we would all feel better. But, that doesn't mean you have to give your power away to that person, that situation, and allow yourself to get sucked in. Now, as usual, I'm going to say this. If something horrible has happened and you're very upset, yes, express those emotions. It's very important to cry. it's very important to express your anger, your frustration, and everything. You have to express it. I'm not going to give you a Pollyanna view that life is so, oh, we can fix everything and you'll always be happy. That's not going to happen. So, but express those emotions and let them come out. Because if you trust the process of life and you accept that you're going to have crap, then you'll be able to move through those emotions faster. You truly will. This I can guarantee. You will be able to move through your stuff faster. It won't be, it won't hang on so long. That hopelessness won't take you over and won't affect you to such a point that it affects your whole life, okay? With the acceptance comes self-responsibility. Yes, you have to accept you're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for your life. You're responsible for whatever it is you're creating in your life. Now, there's lots of ways to move the energy out. Many, many ways you can move this energy. And I'm actually going to give you a bunch of physical steps, things you can do. I will do that in a little bit, but I do have to take callers in a few minutes. I will give you some steps. So make sure you stay tuned and all that stuff so you can get these things, because I'm a big how-to person. Okay, it's all great to hear the philosophy and all this stuff, but if you can't apply it because you don't know how, then it's hard to shift your energy, isn't it? It's hard to shift out of hopelessness. So I love to give how-tos. I think it's very helpful for people to just have some ideas. You take the ones that work, throw out the rest, whatever. It's all good. If you're responsible for your life, you trust it, you're aware, all of that stuff, you're trusting everything is an opportunity to learn about yourself. You're reclaiming your power. Once you reclaim your power, even a little teeny bit, it doesn't have to be a lot. You know, I was talking to one of my clients the other day who is really struggling. And as I was talking to her, I said, you know, we've got to come up with something to do. You've got to have something to do. What do you like to do? So we were discussing what do you like to do, all of this. And I said, you know, let's just set a goal. Just a simple little goal. What do you want to do tomorrow? Something. Is it getting out of bed? Is that big? Is that a good goal? Just getting out of bed. How many of us would love to stay in bed all day when we're having a crappy time, right? Just getting out of bed. And she goes, she looked at me and she says, does that count? I said, yes, it does count. It does count. If that's a struggle for you and you achieve it, you have achieved something. Congratulations. Take it. Own it. It's wonderful. If you're feeling good about yourself, on the day you're feeling better, think about some of the things you like to do. Maybe it's taking a shower. How many times have you been depressed, and I'm sure many of you have, where you don't even want to take a shower. And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't take a shower that day. Maybe you don't take a shower the next day. And then maybe something shifts and you take it and you feel so much better. So these are some ideas that we can talk about. You're going to make choices, small conscious choices, so that you can learn to step out of the fear and the negativity. If you can trust that it's probably going to end, this hopelessness, these feelings, then you'll see that it's going to end. Now, I am not talking about someone who is seriously depressed and needs to be in a hospital, okay? I'm talking about the everyday people who are having struggles and challenges, okay? If you are having issues, mental health issues, where you are feeling so lost, and it's been going on for a while, then yes, go to the doctor, get some help. Yes, definitely. But try some of these things out too. It may help. Now I'm looking at Julie. You need positive energy and trust for tomorrow. Having a root canal. Oh my goodness. TMJ. Yes, pray this one is not as bad. Actually, Julie, I have to tell you, I'm feeling that that's going to be okay for you. I really do. I feel that's going to be okay. And I'm actually feeling the root canal doesn't feel as though it's going to be as, I don't even know what I want, invasive. Like it's not going to be as invasive. So there you go. Yes, good luck with that. I'll be sending you some energy later to make sure, because we don't want to, root canals are can be a challenge, can't they? So what we're going to do, in case you're just joining in, this is Lily Dale Radio. The name of the show is Embracing Your Essence. I'm Colleen Vanderzijden. You can connect with me at psychicmediumcolleen.com, and you can get information there about readings, healing, life coaching, and everything else, workshops I'm teaching, things like that. You are welcome, Julie. You can get information on all those things, and Lilydale Assembly, the website. I want to make sure I tell you the right one. Last week, I don't know where my head was. LilydaleAssembly.org is the website there, and you can go there and find out everything that's happening. The season is starting June 29th, and that is so close. It's so very exciting. We're going to have such a great season this year, and it is very close. Something else I was going to tell you. Oh, when the season starts, our radio shows will be going on hiatus, so we'll only be here for 2-3 more weeks. Just so you know, I will still be doing my Thursday show, through A1R Psychic Radio and Moonstruck TV. That one will still be happening, so you can still catch me on Thursday nights at 8:30, and that is also posted live on my Facebook pages. So we are going to take a caller because I have been talking for 25 minutes, and I should take a caller. So we are going to take, I will give you the last four numbers of your telephone number, and we will talk to you. So we have 0941, yay. Hello, how are you today?
Hey, Colleen, it's great to see and hear you, Facebook Live and chatting on the phone.
Awesome. And what's your name?
So Jay calling from Canada.
Oh, hi, Jay. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm just recovering. I've been kind of down for a couple months in grief. We were just talking about the hopelessness, eh? So... It's been quite the interesting journey through grief, just learning more about
it.
Yeah. And, yeah, my mother passed away in April, so,
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's just horrible. Did she have some stuff going on? I'm feeling a lot of stuff in my chest area, up into my throat area. Did she have something going on before she passed as an illness or something?
For sure, yeah. Yeah, she did.
No, because I'm wondering if that's who's stepping in right now, because I'm feeling a woman coming in, and I'm feeling a lot of stuff. And I want to ask you, too, did she have anything going on in her neck area? Because my neck all of a sudden feels sore, like stiff.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if she did or not. Yeah.
Okay, because, yeah, and, you know, it's, and was this going on for quite some time? Because it feels like this is an ongoing event, you know. It doesn't feel very quick to me.
Well, it was going on for about a year or so.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm wondering if I do have her here. I have to say she does feel very motherly. She's giving me the impression that people were taking care of her. Obviously, normally she would be taking care of them. But at the same time, yeah. I'm getting the impression of people being there for her and people very much reassuring her. Did she start to get very emotional as time was going on? Because I'm feeling a little bit of emotional stuff coming through, sadness, things like that, with her.
Yeah, I wasn't there for her passing, so I'm not sure. It's unknown.
Okay. Yeah, because what it feels like to me, and I'm still not convinced I'm talking to her, but I think I am, is that... you know, she's concerned about everybody else. She's trying to make sure everybody else is doing okay.
Yep,
she's trying to be very positive, all of that, trying to, you know, she doesn't want people to worry about her. She doesn't want people to be concerned. But as I'm feeling that as I'm getting closer to passing, that I'm feeling a lot more emotion. And it's, There's a mix of emotions in there. There's a sadness and there's a gratitude and there's an appreciation and there's all sorts of things in there. She gives me the impression of really looking back on her life and recognizing the value in family and all of those things. I do want to say, before I forget, because you had mentioned you weren't there when she passed, my philosophy, and again, these are only my philosophies, is that based on what Spirit has told me even, the people who are, sometimes people feel guilty they weren't there when someone passes, and other times people feel relieved they weren't there, and then they feel guilty because they feel relieved. My theory is the spirits kind of dictate who's going to be there. They understand who can handle it. They understand who wants to be there. They understand who would want that memory or not want that memory. And so for people who are feeling guilt, and I don't feel you're feeling any guilt for this, so, but I do want to say this for anybody else listening. The people who are feeling guilt can let that go because it's happening in the exact right way it's supposed to be happening. So that is something to consider. Boy, is your father still here?
Yes.
Okay, because there's a mention of him, okay? And there's the feeling of, I want to be helping him. I want to be there. Do you live close to him, or are you just on communication by phone or something?
Communication by phone, but it's a long ways away from where I live.
Okay. I want to be helping. I don't feel that you need to be there. I can't talk today. Hold on. You need to be there physically as much as emotionally and mentally for him. That kind of feeling. I'm getting the impression from her that she's checking in on him with quite some regularity. Interesting. What am I seeing? Did she happen to wear I'm seeing a flowery thing. I don't think it's a house dress. Did she have something she would wear with regularity that had flowers on it?
Yeah, she liked flowers for sure. Yeah, something like
I want flowers on it. You know, yeah. And there's that connection there. There's a lot of sorting out to do. Do you have a sister or somebody who lives closer to your father?
Yeah, I have a sister. And she's far away too.
Okay, because I'm trying to sort this out in my head is I'm getting a female close to him who's helping him. Okay. Would you know if he has somebody there who's helping?
His wife.
Okay. That makes sense. I get it. I'm with you now. Because I don't know. There's a concern for him though, from your mom. Do you know if he's having any issues, or is she just concerned about him because she's always concerned about him and people?
I'm not sure health-wise how he's doing and things like that, so we haven't spoken in about a year. But the thing is, I'll have to contact him before Father's Day for sure.
Okay, yeah, that would probably be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I have to say, she's coming in with a lot of love, this woman. I do like her. You know, you're a very resourceful person yourself. And I remember I remember talking to you in the past. And do you have any advice or anything? Because I know you have a lot of information. Do you have any advice for anybody else going through something similar, something that's really helped you that you'd like to share?
Well, I'm just the beginning of, I think when we go through a hopeless situation or trauma or grief or things like that, if it's not working out as in getting our control of our lives again, and, you know, we have consoling people around us, for me, for myself, now that I'm just starting going to grief groups so I can be part with people who are in similar situations so you don't feel alone. I think the loneliness is actually a big part of it because there's an empty space in your heart somewhere that is not, that just got dug out basically, right? Ripped out of you. So do that. And if that doesn't help too, if you don't have a small community, I mean, you got to find some people maybe in a bigger community. But the thing is that there's always help out there. And medication is the last resort. I think find some people you can actually talk to, and do lots of crying too, so as much as you can. Do it that way. And for me, and just journaling, I think that's one for me that's going to start doing, is journaling.
Yeah, journaling is a great way to clarify things in your head and move energy and all of that. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your mom passing, Jay. I'll add you to my healing list too. I'm gonna make a note and forget. Send some positive energy your way. And I do want to thank you for calling, but also I want to thank you for sharing what you've learned, because it's very valuable for everyone else to hear your perspective. You've always been very generous with your thoughts and ideas. So I do want to thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to talk to you. And thanks for just giving me an insight what's going on still. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Lots of love to you today. Thanks for calling.
Lots of love. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and Jay has been, Jay has called in before, and we've talked to him before, and he has so much wisdom to be shared and so many experiences. And he's, and for him, very, very kind of him to share his experience here, having just recently lost his mother. And he had some very good points there about when you're feeling hopeless, when you're in grief, especially to make sure you have people to talk to. Don't stay in your house all day long. And because you know what happens when you're by yourself all the time, what happens, right? Your brain starts to go crazy and you start to focus on the negatives and it'll lead you down a very negative path. So to go out and go to a grief support group, go out and see somebody, find some friends. And you know, most of us have friends that we can pretty much say anything to, even if it's one or two people. You can say whatever you want and to get it out there and to really let that emotion out. So many times we don't want to cry in front of people because we think it's going to make them uncomfortable. And yes, maybe it is, but too bad for them, because crying moves your energy. And crying also honors whatever it is that you're crying about. It honors the presence of a loved one in your life. Very important to do that. It honors the presence of yourself and your emotions. We always want to honor ourselves as well as the people who are in our lives that we love. We want to do that. So there is nothing wrong, no shame in crying. And if you need to cry, go cry. It's awesome. Do it. This hopelessness that we can feel. Now, if you're experiencing something that's causing hopelessness because of grief or that, we have to move through. You've heard about the stages of someone who has died and the stages you have to go through. You do have to go through those stages, okay? So we're not going to gloss over that. It does take time to come to this new reality when you've lost someone in your life, even an animal, okay? That's the same thing. It takes time to move through this. So I'm not going to gloss over that. You've got to make sure you understand this. Hopelessness, the other kinds of hopelessness where we just feel bad, you know, our life's not working the way we thought it was going to, our relationship's not working, our whatever it is, our job's not working. That kind of hopelessness is here to get you back on track. It's here to give your, to get you reconnected to yourself, okay? Grief is different than hopelessness. And now, I had a client, oh my goodness, last year it was horrible. They had lost, I don't even know how many people in the space of 3 or 4 months. It was like 7 or 8 people. And, you know, I talk to dead people all the time, and I was in shock. I thought, oh my goodness. And I said to her, how are you still standing? You know, it takes a long time. And you may, you know, a year, 2, 3 from now, something can trigger that grief again. So you've got to be aware that it's a natural process, and we all, unfortunately, do have to experience that. And Elise was talking about, don't be afraid to embrace the signs from your loved one. You're not crazy. It's not a coincidence. That is so true. I know after my brother passed, many years ago now, I kept finding money in the weirdest places. Karen, my sister is watching now. Karen, did you ever have an experience when Hans died where you were finding things in different places? Because I kept finding money in different places. I would find it on the step going into the house when I had just left and there was nothing there when I came back. I would find it in the chair of my car. I would find it in my violin case, you know, just the oddest places. So that was always, it took that eventually, you know, if something happens 2, 3, 4 times, that's a sign they're trying to get through to you, and they will do whatever they can to get through to you. It's always interest. So what we want to do, there are things you can do to get back to yourself. Okay, now I'm going to move out of the grief a little bit and back into the hopelessness. We've got to change that inner talk. We've got to change the inner mind. We've got to shift the perspectives because that hopelessness, we always get stuck in that negative thing. I dealt with grief already, but lately have been seeing him in my dreams, not like a dream of him, but like he's there. I can smell his cologne. Oh my goodness, Melissa's writing on Facebook that with somebody who's passed with her, she's gone through the grief, but now she's starting to have signs that he's around, the smells and all of that stuff. I tell you, it's amazing, isn't it? When we can get past our human limitations, our limited beliefs, and recognize that we're all a part of a bigger whole, and that the spirit world is right here with us. They're right next to us. And that doesn't mean they're not in heaven, okay? They're wherever they want to be. They can be in heaven, they can be here, they can be down the street. You know, they're everywhere. But spirit world is right here. And just be open to it. And I know sometimes we want to control it. We want it to happen. We want a sign. We want something so strong, but it doesn't always happen when we're really wanting it. We just kind of have to allow it to happen. Now, oh my goodness, my sister's saying streetlights would go off as I was driving towards them a lot. Also, birds always came very close, like touching distance. Yes, you know, I used to drive down the street and I'd blow out the streetlights. They would just blow out. I didn't even connect that with him. I don't know if there's a connection there or not, but I was blowing out lights all over the place. Isn't that funny? Life is odd. It really is. So I'll just say one more thing, and then I got to take another caller because I am just chatting on and on as usual. So I'm going to take another caller, then I'm going to come back, and we will give you some actual physical steps, things you can do. I've told you a few of them kind of in passing, but things to get you back to yourself, to reclaim your power and move out of that hopeless phase. We've got to make sure that we have that self-compassion. If you're going through grief, going through hopelessness, both of them. Self-compassion. Take care of yourself. Don't think that you're not doing it right or you have to move faster or you have to do this or that because that just creates pressure and then you don't feel good. So you want to have self-love, self-compassion. So you know what? You're doing the best you can. And that's just fine. And that's when maybe some days getting out of bed is your success for the day. And that's all good too. Maybe you ate good food, healthy food. That's a good success too. Got to count these things. So then what you're going to do is you're going to choose to start to try to move out of things. You're going to try to do it. Whether you choose it out of desperation, and so many of us do when we get to that point, you know, where we're like, I don't even know what else to do. Or if you just all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm taking care of this. You know, you're doing it with a resolution there. It doesn't make a difference how you choose as long as you start to make that choice and recognize that there is always hope. There is always hope. In the worst of situations, there is always hope. If you ever need a comparison, you can read up on some things that other people have experienced that are beyond our comprehension. You know, you'll go back to, you know, prisoners of war or people who have been kidnapped or all of those things. And that will help you get some perspective, won't it? You know, when you're upset because, you know, your car broke down and, you know, you're running out of money and all of that. But these other people were in a really heavy duty situation. Sometimes something like that can really help you recognize that you have a lot more blessings than you think you have. So that's a little technique you can use as well. Okay, I do want to take another caller because, as usual, I talk. So hold on. I'm looking to see who I want to take. I think we're going to take this number. It's because I kind of like this number. 9639. That's the last four numbers of your telephone number. 9639. Here we go. Hello. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And what is your first name?
It is Christina.
Christina, awesome. Christina, and how can I help you tonight, Christina? You have something specific you'd like to talk about or a reading or something?
My mother passed on the 24th of May, and I had to make the decision on taking her off of life support or leaving her on. And I took one of the hardest decisions of my life was taking her off of life support. And she was only 54.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I've been dealing with her and her sickness for quite some time. Like, the day I found out she was severely ill, I also found out my daughter was pregnant. It's been a rough few months.
Well, yeah, it really has. I'm really sorry to hear that, so I do want to tell you that right away.
Thank you.
You know, you're a person who... You've always been a responsible person, somebody people can count on, You've always been somebody who tries hard to look at the bright side, aren't you?
Yes. I mean, I get down, but I try to stay positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know, your I don't know what I want to call it, your inner being, I guess, is somebody who really tries to stay positive, you know, really tries to do the right thing, really tries to be there for people. Now, before your mother passes, did she have some issues in her throat area? Did she have a tracheotomy or a breathing tube or something like this?
Well, she had the breathing tube to help her breathe.
Okay.
Yeah, she had go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
She had skin cancer, breast cancer. We found out she had lymph node cancer. She had, I can never pronounce it right, but septic or something like that of the blood. And then she ended up having MRSA of the blood, and the breathing machine was breathing for her more and more and more.
Okay. Yeah, quite a struggle there. You know, wow, that's a lot of stuff for one person, isn't it? And, you know, you being you, you have so much empathy. You know, when she's having issues, it's like you feel it, you know.
Yeah.
You know how she's feeling. You know all this stuff. I do have to tell you that I'm feeling a presence here, and I'm wondering if it is her because, talk about a light feeling right now. You know, she also is a lot like Jay's mom, of somebody not wanting to be a burden on other people, not wanting other people to worry, and all of that. And there's, as her illnesses and stuff are progressing, she gives me the sense that she's feeling helpless to make any changes. She's feeling helpless to do anything, you know. But at the same time, even with all of this, I feel her moving more into a spiritual perspective, okay? Did you happen to read to her, because I want to be being read to me right now, did you happen to read to her some inspiring spiritual things while she was being treated?
The day that they took life support off of her, I went in there privately by myself because me and my family believe in different things. And I just told her, I said, Mom, I forgive you. I know you had a hard life and we haven't always gotten along, but you have to take God, you know, you have to go towards the light. You know, I said that to her a few times. So, you know, I told her, don't be scared, go towards the light, go towards God, go towards the positive things after you pass away, because I was so worried that she was going to be stuck. And me being more educated and knowledgeable about her life and things like that she didn't really know about, I kept stressing that to her when I was saying my goodbyes to her.
Okay, because there's the sense of that spiritual thing, and it felt like you were reading something to her, you know, like sometimes people will read a psalm or something, but it feels like there is that shift. So she's giving me the impression that you did help her make that shift, to because there was some resistance there, some fear, some, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
There's the sensation, you know, I mean, she's all over the map here emotionally. Before she passes, she's showing me so much emotion. I mean, you know, one day she's perfectly okay, it's going to be fine. The next day we're on the depression. Then the next day we're in the fear. Then the next day we're in this. You know, there's a lot happening with her. And she gives me the impression you're very good about hiding your own grief with her, that you're very strong with her. You are. Okay. And you're very strong with her. And she's wanting me to thank you for that, because she says it helped her move into the right direction. Okay. I know you were talking about that, but it does help her. She says it also, you helped her get rid of some of the fear of what was going on. She also gives me the impression too, that there were other people from the other side who were coming in to see her. Did she happen to mention that to you? Because I'm getting the impression of two other people coming in from the other side.
No.
Okay. So you can know that she was not going by herself. There were other people there.
Oh, I knew she wasn't going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. So she definitely, there were other people there. They were helping her cross. She does talk about, oh, boy. She was in the hospital before she passes then because she gets giving me a lot of noise. You know the noises in hospitals? All the beeping and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And she's talking about that and the noises and all of that. And but then what she's talking about is for you after the quiet, that everything is quiet after. And that was something you hadn't prepared for. You didn't recognize that quiet was going to affect you. You know, the sounds meant she was still here. And then when the sounds all stopped, it's very disconcerting for you. Okay. She's telling me she really wants me to say how proud she is of you because you have, you've been making the tough decisions. And since she's passed as well, you've been making those decisions. She's so happy that you were there to do that, to make the tough decisions. And I do believe we're talking about the big, tough decision, too, because she's talking about how happy she was you were there to do that, because there's a feeling with her that I'm not sure I would have herself, only because she wouldn't have had the guts to do it, even though she knows what needs to happen, you know, and that's what's going to help her. So if you're experiencing any negativity thoughts in your mind about that, you can erase those. She's so happy that you helped her cross over. Go ahead.
I helped her cross over, but I had my family in my ear telling me that, you know, they don't think she did because she wasn't on the right path with God and this and that. And but I honestly swear that I smelled flowers, and I was the only one that could smell the flowers before she passed. But when she did pass, I felt like a, I don't even know how, like a calming in my body.
Awesome. So if people on Facebook couldn't hear it all the way, what she was saying is that she was smelling flowers, and the physical people around her were telling her she couldn't pass because of the mother's life path and all that. And then she felt calm after her mom passed. And, you know, I think, Christina, that is an amazing gift from your mom to say, yes, it's all good. I'm here. It's all good. And to smell the flowers, that's really wonderful. It's just so cool to have that experience and that calming, because you're aware of, you know, you're aware of energies and things like that. And so it's easier for her to probably connect with you just because of who you are. You know, you have that empathy and that sensitivity, so it's easier. So you may experience even more of those things. My theory again is, go ahead.
I keep seeing, ever since she passed, I keep seeing like, which I normally don't see, like a shadow or something in my, you know, if I'm walking down the hall and I can see a flash real quick or like somebody was standing there, or I've never seen that before. Is that her doing that?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Because she wants to be, she, you know, spirits want to be acknowledged. They want somebody to say, oh, yes, I see you. I hear you. I know you're here. Even if you can't see him or feel him, but just to say, hey, I know you're here. Thanks for coming. I'm so happy to be talking to you. And I know you don't have any doubt that she has crossed over. For anybody else listening, I also believe it doesn't make a difference what belief systems we hold. I don't believe you have to believe a certain thing to go to heaven or anything like that. And so I get such a feeling of lightness from her. It is very nice. I want to tell you. And some people, too, will question, you know, it hasn't been that long since she's passed. Is that possible? Yes. I had somebody pass the day I was giving a reading to somebody, and they came through, and we knew who it was. So, cool. Yeah, so this is going to be fun, I think, because it sounds to me like you're going to experience some more of her. So just let her come in. Talk to her as much as you want. Okay. It will be great. Okay.
Well, Christina, I suppose I'd better let you go, but I'm so sorry to hear about your mom passing.
Thank you.
But know that the love is there from her. It is so strong. Mm-hmm. You really helped her a lot, and she wants to acknowledge that. You really helped
her.
And she's so happy about that.
Well, thank you for helping me. I really needed this.
Well, you are most welcome. I'm very happy to talk to you. Well, you have
thank
a good
you.
Night, Christina. Lots of love to you, too.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
You too. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Oh, yeah, and Melissa Singer, Dad suffered so much and died with a grimace on his face, but as soon as he passed, a smile came on his face. Oh, isn't that awesome, too? I tell you, spirits always want to talk to you. They really do. They want to let you know it's all good. So what I'm going to do right now, I promised you I would tell you some things to get out of the hopeless feeling. So one, you want to recognize the greatness that's within you. You want to recognize the good parts about yourself. I always tell people, list 100 things you love about yourself. Just write them down. Writing them down is very important because then you have a list. So on the days when you can't remember what's good about yourself, you have it right there on a piece of paper or else in your computer. So write it down. When you recognize the greatness of what you love about yourself, who you really are, you strengthen your inner self. When you strengthen your inner self, you can handle the hopelessness better. See, there's a plan here, right? You want to count your blessings. You want to look for those small things. You know, look, remember these things. Remember these things, like Melissa saying about her father having that smile on his face after he passes. Remember that. That's a sign. That's something that tells you there's something more than we can be aware of. Count the blessings of the wind I was experiencing the other night. A nice small blessing is wonderful. Count the big blessings because, again, when we're in that hopeless stage, we can't think of anything good. So count them. Write them out. I'm writing a book now, an ebook on Powerful Me book, where you write about yourself and then you can use it as a resource when you're feeling hopeless. You have it there and it helps. Tell me, it really helps. You want to set an intention. Okay, you want to have a plan. You've got to have a plan. Make the plan when you're feeling good. So because when you're helpless, you can't think. So make the plan. So you want to have it written out. You want to know these things about yourself, your blessings. You want to know what you like to do. Think of some of those things. You love to sit in the bathtub and read a book. That used to be my most favorite thing to do in the world. You know, whatever it is, you want to come up with a plan. And you want to think of whatever it is you need to do. Maybe you want to go to the grocery store. Simple. Maybe you want to go to the beach. Maybe you want to go for a walk. One thing. And do it. That's all. One thing, especially if you're in the depths of something. Just one thing. You don't have to go, tomorrow I'm going to lose 25 pounds and I'm going to this and this and this and this. Just one thing. So you can set an intention in the morning about what kind of a day you want to experience. Do you want a happy day? Do you want a peaceful day? Do you want a calm day? Say it out loud if you say it. I set my intention today that I'm going to have a happy day. It makes a difference, especially if you say it out loud. And you can repeat it throughout the day as you need to. Before you go to sleep at night, you want to set an intention before you go to sleep. I want to have great dreams tonight. I want to have spirit communication. I want to, I give this problem over to you and God take care of it. Whatever it is, set an intention. If you're noticing that your mind is going, you can do an affirmation or a prayer. Say something over and over and over again. And that makes a difference because it gets your mind out of that negative cycle. So just say something over and over, you know, God is the only one. God is here for me. Whatever it is, you could say the Lord's Prayer, whatever you want to do. My life is perfect. My life is perfect in this moment. I am a being of love and light, and I am here to help others. I am a being of love and light, and I trust in the process of life. I accept responsibility for my life, and I'm trusting in it. Okay, so you want to come up with alternative statements when your mind is going crazy with these negative things. As usual, write them down. Words have power. Use your power. Use the power of those words. Don't let the negative words overwhelm you and get you stuck. You don't want to do that. And, of course, always you can ask for help. We talked about that when we were talking with Jay, you know, talking about getting into a group if you need a group, talking to whoever. If you need to see a doctor, see a doctor. You know, whatever you need to do. Friends are great. Family's great. Find that person to talk to. Get a coach if you want to move something. Works really well. Get a therapist, whatever you have to do. You can count. You can go back over your life and look at all your successes. look at them, write them down, and go, you know what? I know how to live my life. I'm doing a great job. I can do this. And that's a great thing to do. So you can do all of those things to help you move into that space. I'm going to play my end music, but I'm going to come back to you with people from there. Step at a time, and know that in a week, two, three, whatever it is, you're going to feel better. You are. That's how life works, okay? It definitely works that way. You want to shift your thoughts, your ideas, your action. You got to have a little bit of action. The action can be setting that intention. Say it out loud. Do what you have to do. So that's my stuff for today. We've got all sorts of stuff going on. We